Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
God bless you too, CJ Stroud.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is. We're up here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Cypress. Come on through. Hang out with us up off 290. Got a nice little crew gathering here. And it's rocking and rolling. So come on through. Hey, Ron, I got a little audio here to play for the folks.
Uh-oh.
And I asked Tyler a little late. I said, "Hey man, you got these clips for me?"
Yeah, I heard it.
And I looked down. It's Bobby Slowick 6 and Bobby Slowick 9. He said 69. I got it for you.
Now that made me football horny.
Hey. If I'd have realized the numbers, right there, there's no doubt about it that T would have had this thing ready. But, you know, yesterday we talked a little bit. We heard Bobby Slowick in full yesterday. And, look, I think Bobby's reaching right now to try to find the answers to what this offense does well, what the identity of this offense is. And, I think you got to dig a little bit to find the answers, Ron. Here's the deal. That question was asked in some way, shape, or form two or three times yesterday. And when you're talking about the identity of this team and the direction of this offense, I think Bobby Slowick found an answer at one point about midway through yesterday. Here's Bobby Slowick talking about the identity and how last year went versus this year, finding what that identity is.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, I kind of alluded to it already. Like, every year is different. You know, you can go into seasons and you think you have, like, a certain group or a certain scheme or a certain style that you think you're going to be able to go in and play and do. But it happens every year. Like, it changes and evolves as you go. And that process this year has, without a doubt, happened. And I think last year I probably found the answer faster than I have this year. But I feel like we've really gotten to a place right now where, you know, coaching staff, organization, and players all feel pretty good about where we're going.
You got to dig a little bit, Ron. You got to dig a little bit. That's the truest thing that Bobby Slowick said yesterday. Last year we saw two different times during the season. One of them that sticks out, I mean, just obviously to all the fans, is the Cincinnati-Tampa Bay game, the back-to-back game right there where CJ has the shootout with Baker Mayfield, and then he goes down and he outplays Joe Burrow in Cincinnati and gets what I thought was their signature win to date at that point in time. Beating that franchise and that quarterback was big last year. There was two or three different times last year where this offense was hitting on all cylinders and they had found the identity and they had found what that particular group does really well. That's the truest thing Bobby said, and the best way he could have answered it from jump was this year, right? He actually said last year I found it quicker than I did this year. The truth of the matter is this year with this particular offense, Bobby Slowick and the coaching staff, if you will, they have not found the identity of this team yet. They have not found what it is they do well to date, and you're just left hoping that it happens and it pops and the switch flips right here in the playoffs when everything gets real.
Yeah, it feels like they've been searching all year.
They have. Exactly what he's saying. They have been searching.
And they've kind of had to change. I think they know what they want to be, or at least he knows, or they what they want to be now. And I think you've made reference to this because they were able to do it last year. I don't think what they ended up being last year is what they would want to have been, but they had to adjust. And I think for you, they just haven't done as good a job adjusting this year to what they can be.
Well, it's not. look, you won 10 ball games, so you accomplished what you need to accomplish. But the reality, like, don't tell me that it's rain and you're peeing on my leg. And it, like, that ain't like this. Just flat out, you've been searching all year long. You've had a lot of change. You've had injuries. You've had offensive line protection issues. You've had a lot of issues, and you're having a hard time hitting stride. We feel like we've done some good things. Now it's all about putting it together. Like, quit telling me about how close you are and about how you do this well or that well. And the reality is, we all watch the film. Like, there's issues, and you're actually searching. I think that's the best way to put it, Ron, is he's right now offensively they're searching. As a fan, I just hope that it all comes together, and what we saw last week in that first drive for 11 plays is more of what we have coming in these playoffs.
I think some of the Joe Mixon games have kind of tricked him a little bit into, all right, man, now we want to run the football the way we want to, and we can use our play action off of it. But against the better teams, the better defenses at least, that just hasn't been what they're able to do. And it feels like getting closer to what they did last year should be what they're trying to do. But I don't know.
Well, I think here's the thing when it comes to, you know, Bobby's talked a lot about. Having a good idea of what it is they need to do at this point in time. Now it's just about executing. Now you can say you've heard that all year long, but it seems like they've got a pretty good grip on what it is they want to look like. Now they've just got to show the world what it is. I got to believe, to your point, that's less forcing the run and more throwing the football with CJ Stroud.
No, because that's what they want to. They want to be a balanced team that is a physical run team that they can use their play action off of.
Right.
And that's not what they were able to do last year, and that's not what they're able to do consistently this year.
Well, here's the one thing that they have been able to do consistently, whether you're looking at advanced stats or you're listening to Bobby Slowick, is get explosives. Here's Bobby Slowick on getting explosives this week, and along with a couple of other keys of what they need to happen.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is really player-driven more than anything. I think most coaches probably approach it very much the same way, where you have – not every play is designed for an explosive, right? Now, that doesn't mean that it can't get one. We can throw a 5-yard completion in transition, make someone miss, and get 30, you know? But if you're specifically designing a play for an explosive, oftentimes you have that explosive thought for a certain look, and then you have other things built into the concept, whether it's run or pass, to help handle all the other stuff. And, you know, that's my job to make sure that's relayed to the coaches, to the quarterback as a starting point, and then to the rest of the offense that, like, hey, this is what we're looking for. If we get it, this is our opportunity, and we got to hit it. And you guys got to go do what you do and go make the play. And if we don't get this look, how do we protect the play? How do we still make this a 6-7 yard game where we're playing really efficient offense and we didn't even get what we wanted, to then come back to maybe some different form of, you know, a same style of scheme to try to attack a certain coverage? So I think there's a lot of layers to that. And that includes, like, even just a lot of those looks can't even get started if you don't protect well enough. You know, and most of the time you're trying to attack a certain scheme, that's where it all starts. Like, how do we make sure we're good in protection? And I can tell you that's at the forefront of our mind in this game without a doubt.
And that right there is Bobby Slowick. I know he went around his elbow to get to his mouth, but that's Bobby Slowick saying, hey, man, we can call all the explosives that we want to, but if we can't protect it, if we can't block it up, and by the way, this week it's going to be difficult. If we can't block it up, it doesn't matter what the hell the play call is. So finally, again, Bobby Slowick, you got to search a little bit, but you can read between the lines and get a real good feel, I think, for what this offense is trying to do. I think obviously,
or at least where it starts.
Well, look, I mean, the truth of the matter is they do have some weapons. CJ is really good in that mid-range pass game. Nico Collins is really good in the run after catch. Joe Mixon has been tremendous in the pass game. There's no doubt about it. They've got the explosive thing is real. I mean, they can get to that 15 to 25 yard mark and they can get there. The problem is games are won and lost in the non-explosive plays. What are you doing? As he said, you know, if you draw a play up and you're expecting a real soft zone and you're going to figure out a way to attack a cover two safety and you all of a sudden get pressure, you got to have an answer for that pressure. And it can't be a sack for a 15-yard loss on first down, and then you end up in second and 25 or whatever, second and 30, whatever. Like, you can't have those kind of things happen. So, you know, the quarterback's got to be better in those situations, and I think ultimately the pass protection's got to be better. If those things happen, the Texans are a better football team. The Texans will win this ball game.
Sounds like he's challenging the boys up front.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I said in a different way, but if they can block it, they got success.
Yeah.
They have a chance of success, and the Chargers have given up, especially in the passing game this year. They can just block it.
I do agree with you that Blake Fisher, and I'll even throw Laramie Tunsil in there. I mean, because, you know, Laramie's got to be the great Laramie. And that means the penalty situation. That means the one-on-one situations. That means critical moments in the game. Like, Laramie's got to be really good. If we're being honest, Laramie's let this squad down a couple of times in critical situations, not with just the penalties. Hell, it's been more than a couple of times if you count the penalties. I'm talking about with just getting beat. He's let the team down a couple of times. So he's got to be great in big moments as well. I'm Clint Sterner alongside Ron Ugly. T. Meal is back in the studio behind the glass on the ones and twos. We talked briefly about this yesterday, Ron, but I want to circle back to it. Tyler didn't get in on the conversation, I don't think. That TGL, that golf league, that new team golf league that's out there, did you watch it any, Ron?
I didn't watch any of it, but I watched a lot of them talking about it.
Tyler, did you get a chance to watch any of that Tuesday night?
No, I heard about it from a lot of my buddies in this group chat or whatever, and they were going off about how cool it was. But no, man, I haven't even peeped a second of it, to be honest.
So your guys that you golf with, they liked it, huh?
Yeah, they were all ranting and raving about how cool it was.
Well, I think this is something that the game of golf needs. I don't know if needs a strong word, but it's something that I think traditional golf doesn't bring to us fans and us viewers, right? I mean, golf is not typically something, if you got people at the house and you're hanging out, you might have a football game on in the background, or even baseball or basketball. You know, there's a lot of action where you can just peek at the TV, and if LeBron's on the floor, there's a good chance you're going to see LeBron doing his thing. You know, if you look at the TV and you got, not that the Texans would be on in the background, that's obviously appointment television, but if it were, you'd look up and you'd see Stroud and Nico, and you'd see 55 and 51. You'd see the guys you want to see. And I'm talking about seeing them right now. You wouldn't have to wait and hope that they're leading the tournament and wait for the cameras to zero in on them. This is golf like in fast forward. Like, this is golf where you can have it on in the background and turn around and watch it for 2 minutes and see every player that's involved. You can see them hit their first shot, their drive, or their second shot. You can see them putt. Like, you can watch a hole. I think they played 15 holes in 2 hours. Mm. And there's six or eight golfers. And so I think just the thought of, like, golf being a sport that is fast paced enough.
I was going to say, how is it different? How is it different?
Though? Well, it's fast paced enough where, you know, like, you watch a golf tournament, which I enjoy, by the way, but you watch a golf tournament, a big part of that is sitting and listening to the commentating between shots, right? You know, there's not that, like the constant action of watching these elite players do their thing, just bang, 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 bang. I mean, it is, and they're talking, they're laughing, they're cutting up. So the fast-paced part of it, I think, is big. The team competition, I think people like and appreciate the team competition aspect of it. The new age technology aspect of it. Like, this stuff, Tyler, it is in a indoor closed arena.
Because it seems like they're hitting some of their shots off of, like, a, you know, like you would go into it, like a computerized spot where you would just hit it into.
Well, they are. It's a golf simulator. It's a golf simulator on steroids. Like, the simulator, the screen they're hitting in looks like it's 30 yards from them. But there's grandstands on an indoor facility on each side of fans that are right on top of the action. So they hit one direction. Like, say it's a football field. It's not that quite that big. But they're hitting into, they're driving and hitting their irons into the green. They're doing that on that big screen one direction, and then they're flipping around and putting into the other end zone, right? So the putting green, and the putting green moves. You can see it moving in the background.
Because the putting green's not simulated. It is a...
It's a real putt. It's turf. It's a real putt machine. I mean, it's a real green, and they're moving the green around to make it to make the putt as close as they can to what the screen is telling you they got to on the simulator. But it's just, it's new age. And I know for a lot of traditional golfers, like, what the hell are you talking about? But for these kids that have played on simulators and have played, you know, Top Golf and all this stuff, this is real, and it gives those fans an opportunity to watch in a different light. I just think this is something that traditional golf doesn't offer you from an entertainment standpoint. And I think if you're talking about growing the game, this is the way to do it. Hey, there's already I think Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy own it. Yeah. I think they own it, or are investors or whatever. I don't know if you saw this, Tyler. You probably did on social media. This is hard. This is Ken Griffey Jr. hitting a home run off a foul pole, by the way. He is Tiger's hitting an iron into the big screen simulator, which it's a monster screen. And one of the producers or somebody walks up and says, "Hey, can you hit the camera?" And he says, "I don't know, where's the camera at?" And he says, "At the top of the screen." So it's way up at the top of this screen. Really? Tiger Woods drops a ball and hits a wedge and hits the freaking camera on the first shot. I mean, it's just literally they showed the camera is on him, and he says, "Where is it at?" And he hits the ball up there, and you hear the camera hit the ball, hit the camera, and the camera moves up on the deal. So there's no faking this thing.
What did he do?
He acting like no big deal. Ain't no big deal. I mean, it's entertaining to me because I can separate it from your traditional golf. Like, I understand sitting down with my father-in-law and the appeal of real golf and watching it. I can separate the two. I can see sitting in my man cave, breaking a little bread, having some drinks, playing cards, whatever, and that being on the TV and catching your attention every now and then and being entertaining. I think it's something that golf just, again, I don't know if they needed it, but if you're talking about growing the game, I think it's a really, really cool concept that'll take off.
There you go.
I think LA plays the Florida group next, by the
way.
So
it's teams like that.
States. Right, New York. I was watching New York and – was it New York and L.A.? I think it was New York.
There's about three guys or whatever I saw.
New York and L.A. this year. This week it's L.A. and Florida, which I think Tiger's Florida, I think. Yeah. But anyway, Rory's team – Rory and Tiger play, I think, in 2 or 3 weeks. So anyway, it's going to end up being a really cool, really cool deal. They got some of the fan favorites out there that are playing. They got all, what I noticed, they have all the big name, like not big name, but the more noticeable, like, college football guys are commentating all of it. Like Marty, what's his name? NASCAR guy.
Marty Smith.
He's in on it. I mean, they got, you know, those dudes that are doing some of the interviewing and stuff. So it's a pretty cool atmosphere. We'll see how it lasts.
All right. Coming up as we're live here, continuing on a Thirsty Thursday. There he is. Bud Light girls are out. They'll take care of you as they are around here. There he goes.
There, I tell you.
They catch Slowick 6.
Let's try it again. The Bud Light boys are out now.
That's what you would have got out of college.
What up, bros?
The Bud Light girls are out. Have a good time. Coming up at 4:35, you'll have a chance to win the Derek Stingley autograph helmet. I'm going to give you about, you know, 15 minutes or so. 4:35, your chance to win an autograph helmet. You can sign up right now. We'll do that after the next segment. Coming up, college football has a huge, huge game tonight. We could talk about it, but I do want to start with, have you been enjoying this new 12-team college football playoff? Has it been exciting for you? Have you enjoyed this new system? We'll discuss all of that as we continue coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. A little Thirsty Thursday, as you heard there from the big voice guy. We're here in Cypress, Buffalo Wild Wings. And remember, coming up as soon as this segment ends, you got a chance to win that autographed Derek Stingley Jr. helmet. You got to sign in right now. As soon as the segment ends, you'll have a chance to win. We'll do that drawing. There is a white raffle box. If you put your name in that, you'll have a chance to win. A little bit later on in the 5 o'clock hour, a Tank Dell autographed football you can win as well. So stay tuned for that. All right, Clint, college football, big one tonight.
Come on, man.
Penn State, Notre Dame.
Can't get home quick enough.
I know it. I I feel like tonight Penn State is potentially going to just make me have to eat it. You know, I've just never really believed that they're that good.
Notre Dame. Supposed to be a reputable university,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, they just ran through SMU and Boise State. So,
You mentioned the scary part there is because, like, I feel really good about Penn State, too, and it really doesn't have anything to do with watching them beat those two teams. It really doesn't. The Drew Aller kid, I just feel like
he's playing good.
I mean, he's a college football. Like, it's almost too good to be true. This guy, and I know everybody knows who he is, and I know there were people that for some reason thought this guy, it'd be a good idea if he declared for the draft. But, like, this could be his coming out party. Like, I don't know if Penn State is going to allow him to flourish like for four quarters and spin the ball around the park the way I think he's capable of doing. I don't even know if they have the weapons to do it, to be honest with you.
Well, but we know they got one.
But he's the dude that I just think is the difference maker in this game. I mean, both of these teams are really, really good football teams statistically. And I'm talking about on a national level, not just in their respective conferences or with their respective schedule. They're really, really good on both sides of the football and in the trenches, really, any way you slice it. And so I just think Drew Aller is the one that could really take Penn State to the next level.
Yeah. No, and they're definitely favored the way they've been playing. Notre Dame just beat Georgia with their quarterback throwing for 90 yards. So that's something that you don't hear all the time. Real quick, and you can answer this, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, Clint, Tyler, as well. Have y'all been into the college football playoff?
Hell,
you been to it as you thought it was?
Hell yeah! Do you like the March Madness first couple rounds?
I know how you are. I know. Have you been in it,
Absolutely.
Tyler? Have you been into this?
Yeah, football. Hell yeah! I've been very plugged into this one.
I just say I've been into it to start these games, and then there's only been really only been like one compelling game.
True.
Like I was out and we were watching the Texas Arizona State game. I was into that, and then we were out a whole bunch of.
Yep.
I was around a whole bunch of Texas fans.
They got you back in, though, didn't they?
No, it was good.
Tough spot to find yourself in, man.
Yeah, it was a fun watch. But all the other ones, man, it's just I don't know. I guess for me, it's not that I'm not into it, but I hope that this is just a this year thing, and not moving forward. Because to where it's going, fellas, is it doesn't really feel like there are any really good teams.
This year in college football, the ACC being down, the Pac-12 disappearing, and really the SEC not having two or three, Alabama being down, and the SEC not having like the mainstays as good as they typically are. I think overall there were some stars that aligned that caused college football to not be as top heavy this year. Although the playoff outcomes will tell you different because it's clearly been these four football teams.
I mean, Ohio State has looked, dominant throughout, and they've played against Tennessee, an SEC team.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Ron. They got to fix one thing. They got to fix the automatic buys, right? It's got to be the highest ranked teams. You can't let Arizona State and you can't let Boise State have buys. Just think about if you just saw Tennessee, Arizona State, SMU, Boise State in the first round, and then the winners of the lesser thans, if you will, the winners of those teams have to go on and then play a Penn State. Right, or then play a Texas. Right, your Clemson teams that just sneak in and get in late—they got to play in the first round. Like teams that have been top five all year long shouldn't play in the first round. I don't give a damn what happens; they shouldn't play in the first round. So to me, you fix that, right? Like Penn State and Texas, Ohio State and Georgia—those four teams should have had a bye, right? And then the other teams—they all play each other, and so we get better football in the first round, and you at least make teams earn their way to play the big boys. And then that may get a little lopsided there, but then you get the four that you got now, and I think it's going to end up being really good football. Obviously, they got to tweak a couple things, and it's going to be money.
I get that. It just feels like – I don't know if it's because of the portal, NIL. It just feels like there's not any great teams. You know what I mean? And I get all the stuff you're saying. Like Michigan, my man right here in the Michigan pullover. I think all four of the teams last year that were in the college football playoff would just trounce all of these teams. To me, Georgia didn't even make it last year. Ooh. The Georgia from last year. Ohio State looks it, but I'm sorry, I can't get the Michigan game out of my head. Right, they almost lost to Nebraska at home, too. It just doesn't feel like Texas. I don't think Texas is, I mean, they're cool, but they're not like a team to me that's been really, really good. Like one of the other these teams that have won championships in the last 5 years. The same thing with Penn State. Come on, man, this Penn State team. Notre Dame just beat. They just beat Georgia, and their quarterback threw for 90 yards. What Georgia team under Kirby Smart is that possible with? Yeah. Right? I don't know what it is that the talent is spread so much. I'm not sure, but it just feels like there aren't any great teams.
Yeah, I think the conversations right now are premature. I think they're accurate, though.
I hope it's just 1 year. I just hope it's just this year.
Well, look, I think we had just a weird year in college. The ACC is never going to be this bad again. And when the ACC is bad, then all of a sudden you've got lesser than teams getting in their place.
You're right. Like Clemson's not. That's not a
right. And if you want to call I know they got SMU and Clemson in, but SMU's not a typical team that's going to go win. That's going to win. We're talking Florida States of the world, the Miamis of the world. Like typically, those schools are the ones. Clemson are the ones that are going to be representing the ACC. It was just down, and I think that changed everything. Now, I think the premature conversation is going on right now in college. Well, I know I'm getting away from the college football playoff, but I think the premature conversation, although I do believe it's going to be true, I don't think it's the reasoning for what we're talking about right now, but I do think the transfer portal is going to spread the wealth, and the college football as a whole is going to be less top heavy. I mean, I played in the SEC, and like we hope to get one or two starters a year that were as good as LSU's second team. Their special teams were full of guys that could start at Arkansas. So it was the same way with Alabama, same way with at the time Tennessee was winning national titles, Florida was winning national titles. But you know, you're playing uphill. I was every year. Now the Arkansas of the world are going to benefit because the number twos that don't play their freshman and sophomore year are going to bounce down to your Arkansas and to your Kentuckys and to the lesser thans. So it is going to I think somewhat level the playing field in college football, which again I think for me as a viewer and for me as a Razorback, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it just feels like it's just down. To me, like when Tua and Alabama beat Georgia in the title game, though it like I'm wondering, are we going to see teams that good again? Are we going to, because though, like you're not seeing that, like right now, like Penn State, Notre Dame, man, those teams would be in the Final Four of years past. Like I mean we'll see what they do this year. It just feels like it's going down. All right, coming up, we're going to hook somebody up with an autographed Derek Stingley Jr. helmet as soon as this segment ends. And coming up next, for this game, many of you feel good about it. I've talked to many of you here at Buffalo Wild Wings. I've talked to some of you on the text line and YouTube and Twitch. What is making you feel so good about this game for the Texans? What's the thing that is making you feel, yes, this is why the Texans are going to, I guess, shock the world and beat the Chargers. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'm sorry, man. What made you go Nirvana there?
I heard that tune on my commute into the studios today.
Okay, all right. I could get into a little Nirvana action.
Hell yeah!
I'm gonna tell you, Tyler. I think Tyler probably does this a lot more often than I do. But I'm in need. I actually texted my wife last night.
Oh Lord!
Nirvana's one of those that, if you can close your eyes and just picture, you've had you a really good day. You've probably gone out, maybe with your bride if you're single, maybe not, whatever. And you're back at the house, let's say about 12:30. And you're either inebriated. Is that just alcohol, or does that mean it could be? Can it be narcotics?
I think it could span the
board. Yeah, I think it's across all
whether
the
you're drunk. Let's just look. Whether you're drunk or high is irrelevant. One of the two,
or you're tripping balls.
Yes, one of the two. But you're sitting on the back patio, and you need you another drink, and you don't want to talk to nobody. You don't feel like you just want to sit back there and be real appreciative of the weather. Of your life,
the guy is drunk.
And you want to appreciate some really good music,
You go Nevermind album. You go Nirvana.
Nirvana's got a real chance to be in the mix.
Yeah, why not?
Nirvana's got a real chance to be in the mix, boys.
They got some good tunes.
That kind of that's got a little bit of edge, a little bit of rock to it, but it's not going to blow my eardrums. It's gonna just, you know, something that's just going. I don't need my heart rate to go up. In fact, I'd like to pass out, maybe doze off a bit as it's going on.
Kurt will let you doze off, then he'll come back and wake you up.
That's what I'm talking about right there. Hell yeah, baby! That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man, it's that Nirvana, birth of the grunge scene.
Hey, man, Nirvana's right there for me, man. Who's the other? There's one more that I'm thinking of, man. That boy, I got introduced to him up in the Hill Country back in the day.
And Pearl Jam,
Candlebox. But Pearl Jam is a good one.
I don't have Candlebox.
You don't have Candlebox.
I don't have that either.
The group?
I never heard of that.
No. Oh no! Unless I'm just completely misfiring here, I'm pretty sure it's Candlebox.
Yeah, I don't have Candlebox.
I mean, absolutely. But Pearl Jam, Tyler, you are. I knew you'd know exactly what. You probably did it last night. You know exactly what the hell I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
I need one of them evenings. I'm looking for one of them evenings.
Let's have one.
Candlebox. Yep. 30 years of rock and roll.
What's far like behind? Their biggest
far
hit?
Behind. I was fixing to say Far Behind is tremendous.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Are they Seattle too? Yep. They are Seattle.
I don't want to live in Cover Me is tremendous as well.
Candlebox formed that band in 1990, the year I was born.
I did not know they were Seattle, so maybe I'm onto something in Seattle.
We're rolling all Seattle there.
Yeah, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Pearl Candlebox. Jam.
Yeah, that was that scene right there. I'll be honest, I just watched a documentary on
Seattle.
All of that earlier this week. Yep.
And all that rain up there made them want to play grunge music.
You can have somebody, if Lauren wants to join in with me Saturday evening, she can. If not, she wants to go to bed, I'm cool. It's good, no big deal.
I think those kids just hated Poison so much.
Too much hairspray.
We're going to change this damn thing
Yes,
up.
But you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's
I thought you were going to say the Chili Peppers. But you were in a grunge place.
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
He was going full grunge.
Yeah, he was in a grunge place. All right, I said this on the tees. Congratulations to our guy Gage. Let's clap it up for Gage. Gage won the Helmet. Clap it up for Gage. Congratulations to Gage. He is our last winner coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. If you have not put your name in our raffle box, and yes to the texter, yes, I'm saying it's a white raffle box because it is. Dexter text in, why's it got to be white?
Yeah,
why it's white.
Why is everything going to be black or white, Ron?
That's what the whites used to do.
Put your name in the white raffle box next to the black chairs.
Oh.
And the chairs and black man.
The white box next to the black man.
The black man who...
The show.
Light-skinned look of Marvin Gaye right now.
He said caramel. White box, caramel man.
Just light-skinned. Like, nice. What's going on? Come on, man. The waiter. He did, man. He didn't fell on the ground on that one. That was good. You see that? What's going on? Yeah, you see that? Let me do that before I lose my voice again for an hour. But you got a chance to win Tank Dell football coming up. In the 5 o'clock hour. All right, Clint. When you look at this, and I said this to some people, and I see some people on the text line jumping into it, things that you feel confident about. What is it that you feel confident about for the Texans to win this game? Why they can win the game? I see some people texting in. Our secondary, our defense is something else. All of this. Our pass rushers. What for you is something that you look at and you're like, this is what I'm feeling. In terms of the Texans' chances to win this game,
well, you done changed it on me. I'm not real confident this is going to happen, but if it happens, I'm confident the Texans will win. How about that?
How about this? Go ahead.
It's C.J. Stroud. If C.J. Stroud, and earlier I said A, I'll take the B plus game. If C.J. Stroud brings a B plus or better game to the table, I am very, very confident the Texans win this game.
Very confident.
I mean, look, the reality
as
of it is.
As confident as I am right now.
This is a really good defense. And I don't believe that there's a chance in hell that we're going to run the football well against this defense. I don't think that we are going to do anything out of character or above board of what we did all year long, other than two guys on the field, C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins. I think those two guys, like asking the offensive line to all of a sudden go out there and allow Joe Mixon to go consistently run against a really good defense, that ship has sailed for me. Asking this offensive line to pass protect in an elite manner, ship has sailed. Dalton Schultz, the ship has sailed. What I do believe is I think you got two guys out there that are better than the majority of the NFL. I think it's C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins. If C.J. Stroud brings a B-plus game, I'm very, very confident that the Texans win this thing.
See, I don't even think it's really in that realm for me, because now listen, he can't come in there and F it or anything like that. But like this can't be Baltimore. But for me, Clint, I just think this team kind of fits in the place of what the Texans have done to other teams like this, right? Teams that don't have great or teams that DeMeco can develop a plan for and get after people and get after the pass rusher. So their pass rush along with their secondary and their coverage skills kind of play in together. And I think this defense has a real chance to suffocate what the Chargers want to do. I think Derek Stingley, there is nobody that he can't cover and can't shut down. I'd be shocked if somebody went off on Derek Stingley. They just don't have the dudes to do it, right? Even if they're completely healthy. Johnston, Ladd, they don't have the dudes to do it. And I think Kamari Lassiter, same way. I think he can hold this thing together. When you look at a team that takes a lot of sacks like the Chargers do, and you think about the coverage skills that the Texans have, I think that is a big, big, big positive for the Texans in this game. And I think it's a big reason why CJ won't have to be great. Why CJ just can't lose it. Just don't go out and lose it. Because much like what they did to the Dolphins, much like what they did to the Bills, I think they are very capable of doing that to this offense. The only person that scares me on this offense is Justin Herbert. Now, I understand that's a big deal. He's the quarterback, but he also needs other guys to get himself open. And he is going to try to make the big play, which to me has led to a lot of sacks that he has had this year. So to me, the defense, Clint, is why I believe they have a really, really good shot of holding this down. I know you got this, Tyler. This is Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator who has seen a lot. Here's Greg Roman talking about the big thing that stands out to him about the Texans' defense.
We're trying to learn about this Houston defense. We haven't played them. We haven't really watched them on film at all this year. So not in our division, etc. So, you know, this is a defense that might be it's definitely the fastest defense we've played this year. Might be the best. They got great players. They're really well coached. They have a scheme they believe in that works for them. Their personnel fits their scheme, and their scheme fits their personnel. And it's really obvious they've got a lot of confidence in that. But we know the challenge. Guys are excited, feel offensively. You know, it's a one-game season at this point in the playoffs. It always is. But we're trying to continue to get better.
Yeah, he talked about their speed, Clint, and that's something we've noticed from DeMeco right off the bat, how hard and how fast they play.
Well, he said definitely the fastest defense.
Oh, yeah. You just think about definitely the fastest defense, probably the best. I mean, that's some high praise. I mean, we just got through talking about Denver's defense earlier, and they play in the same division with Denver and Kansas City. Kansas City's got a pretty good defense. I mean, they played not once but twice some pretty damn good defenses. So that's some high praise coming from a long in the tooth offensive coordinator that knows what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah, and they struggled in some of those games. Mm-hmm. They never got over 17 points against Kansas City in either one of the games. And the Texans, I think, have the ability to do that to them. So I that's to me where I feel really good about what this defense can do. Coming up, little 5 o'clock fire. We'll give you the latest Texans and Chargers injury report. Two guys that have been starters this year on both, or at least a guy on both sides, is declared out for this game. We'll get you ready for the big game tonight, the national semifinal between Notre Dame, Penn State, and some really, really tough news on what's going out in California and the league, in all kinds of leagues, NBA, NFL, they're having to make potential decisions based on the wildfires. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.